Peter Wallace here at the Day One Podcast Extra, and we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. Kenneth H. Carter, Jr. Ken is Senior Pastor of Providence United Methodist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ken, we're glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Peter. It's wonderful to be here.
I'm wondering, what are some of the issues in preaching that you most wrestle with?
A first issue would be just the diversity of people in a typical congregation, that you're not preaching to a homogeneous group. Mm. There are people who are there. One may be a retired person who really is hungering for more experience, for more activity, for more relationship. And there may be a young couple in another part of the sanctuary who really are overwhelmed and are looking for a time to be left alone and a place to sort of catch up with themselves. There are often also people all across the political spectrum and with different degrees of biblical knowledge and at different places along their spiritual journey. So you're really preaching to a number of different kinds of people in the typical sermon.
So how do you try to reach them all, or can you?
Sometimes within a sermon you can have portions of the sermon that may in one place be speaking to a person who is a very dedicated, perhaps Christian. And yet in another place in the sermon, you can ask a question that may be where more of a seeker is. And sometimes I'm also convinced that children or young people are drawn to aspects of a sermon that are about children or young people. When I was a child, it was the fascination with the boy who brought the loaves and fishes. That was sort of a doorway into that story of Jesus for me.
So you try to put points of connection in your sermon.
I think so.
What is the message or the word that you think people today need to hear more from the pulpits?
I find as I look over a number of sermons over a period of a few years that I think I do this, I think many preachers do this, that we tend to, even if we preach from the lectionary, we tend to get into some common themes. We find our way toward these themes. And I think one of the messages people really need to hear is just the fundamental message of God's grace, which is something we don't deserve or earn and cannot repay. And that it's not, Christianity is not about keeping a ledger of our good deeds versus our bad deeds or our rewards and punishments, but it really is grounded in the grace of God, which is a gift, which comes to us as a gift. Another theme I think that recurs, and I think it's a need people have, is just the simple message of hanging in there, just encouragement. And you can find that in the book of Revelation. You can find it in other places, in the book of Hebrews, in other places all throughout the scriptures when the prophets are speaking to Israel, in that we always are tempted to give up and we become fatigued. And so often I find myself in sermons encouraging people to hang in there, to stay with it. Not to despair, to be hopeful, to have patience. And I do believe that's a theme that seems to resonate with many people.
I'm always curious to learn of our speakers' preparation habits when they prepare for a sermon. Do you have any unique preparation habits?
Well, I often will map out sermons for maybe half of a year. And often they are lectionary-based passages, but not always. There are times in the summer when I will do a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer, just something that's a little bit of a change of pace. But once I have the text sort of out there, then I began to create little folders for these texts. And if something comes to me in a newspaper article or a magazine article or something I see in a church newsletter or a snippet of a passage from a book, I will flag those and begin to fill up the folders. And I often try to work on sermons a couple of weeks ahead of time so that it's not always starting from a blank slate on Monday morning, mm-hmm. moving towards Sunday. But different sermons are at different stages of their arrival.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the preparation. But I do try to have, generally I try to have a draft of a sermon by Thursday or Friday, typically end of the day Thursday. And then Saturday mornings I will come back into the church where typically it's very quiet. And usually I find myself cutting the sermon, taking things out of the sermon. And I will say to myself, you know, I was angry when I said this, or this is a tangent, or this is irrelevant, or this mm-hmm. can wait for another day. Mm-hmm. And generally trying to work on the transitions. Does it make sense and the logic of it? And then I will sort of, through the wonder of computers, sort of revise it in that way. And then Sunday morning I arrive pretty early, and I will read through the sermon again, just to see if it kind of is what I'm trying to say. And I do have a sense of real freedom about preaching, that this is a finite amount of mm-hmm. time. This doesn't have to be for history. This is just one word spoken to a group of people on this one Sunday.
Hmm.
And so I don't get really anxious about needing to say the final word about any passage mm-hmm. on any particular Sunday. There tends to be another Sunday coming along. So
that makes sense. Let me ask you about your personal spiritual life, your spiritual disciplines. Do you weave those into your sermon preparation? How do you spiritually approach the scripture as you prepare?
I think for me, a lot of spirituality in sermon preparation is simply just living with the passage during a week. And I know that I would really miss that if I were not preaching week to week. It's just so ingrained in my own spirituality that you sort of start with a passage from the Bible that is the sermon and live with it for good or ill. And so often I will find that a passage of scripture convicts me about something or reminds me of something that I need to pay attention to. And I have heard people make the big distinction between working on a passage of scripture for a sermon and listening to a passage of scripture without that end in mind. For me, it needs to be of a whole. That is the mm-hmm. week's work, and the work is the spirituality. I think also that's always in relation to what's happening in a congregation, who I have encountered that week. And I tend to believe that those are never accidents, who I've encountered in a hospital setting or in a committee meeting setting or in a social setting. And they all sort of come together into that sermon as it develops, and the writing it out can almost become like a journal entry. Not that it's my own personal self-expression, but that really is my spirituality of developing a sermon and how that sort of goes into that. Of course, there are other times for spiritual experiences that have nothing to do with sermons, like retreats, and those are important. And I mentioned Sabbath mm-hmm. In relation to the sermon. There do need to be spiritual experiences, and I need them, which really have nothing to do with the production of a sermon.
Let me ask you about your blog, too, and you can tell us the URL for it, but do you try to write something to that? How often? I mean, what is your purpose in that blog? I know you do a lot of reviews, book reviews, movie reviews.
The purpose of the blog, as for me, as distinct from, say, a church newsletter, is that a blog is more at the interface of the church, of the faith and the culture. And I also feel a greater freedom to be a little more experimental, to be a little more political, to say some things in the blog that I would not say in the newsletter, although certainly I have the blog address in our church newsletter and on the website, so I mm-hmm. hope people will come to it. But it's a time to also be a little more unpredictable, and I'm convinced that that's very important for media. If people feel like, you know, when I open up this email message, I know what's going to be there, they're less likely to open it than if they're just never really sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had blog entries about immigration and about barbecue and about a movie I've seen mm-hmm. or some books that I've not read about getting together with friends. And so I try to have a real mix of blog entries so that when you open it, you are never really sure if it's going to be different songs that I may be listening to at the moment, mm-hmm. Most of which are not hymns and have nothing to do with church, or if it's going to be a fragment of last Sunday's sermon mm-hmm. from John 15 about the vine and the branches. And the links also, I think, are an important part of a blog where people can go mm-hmm. to, I call them inside voices and outside voices. The inside voices tend to be more representatives of the church, Nora Gallagher, Will Willimon. There are a number of them. The outside voices are often musicians that I really like, Emmylou Harris or others, and just my own personal preferences. And that's, to me, is one of the great things about the blogs that I like. They're people finding their own voices. And I also feel like for the future, blogs may replace email, and that email may become, for many people, so intrusive that we're going to depend on people coming to the blog in contrast.
Tell us where we can find your blog.
I think the address is ken@providence.blogspot.com.
KENATPROVIDENCE.
That's right.
Blogspot.com.
That's right.
Well, very
the title,
good.
The title mm-hmm. of the blog is Bear Witness to This World. If you type that in Google, okay. You would find the blog.
Great. Well, Ken Carter, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Peter.